Three verses tonight, so if you have your Bibles, James chapter 5 and verses 13, 14, and 15. If you're physically able, would you stand, amen, as we give reverence to the Word of God. You know, there's only one thing God puts above His own name, and that's His Word. Psalm 138, 2, Thou hast magnified Thy Word above all Thy name. And the name of God is holy, amen. It's righteous, it's just, but the Word of God, boy. Thank God for His Word. I trust you're reading it and studying it this year. It'll be a blessing to you. Thank God in measure as you study it and you try to hide it in your heart that you might not sin against Him. We have three verses in James chapter 5, and let's read them all together. We'll read them in unison, minding the commas and the semicolons and all that. Beginning in verse number 13, read down through verse number 15. Ready? Let's begin. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Father, would you please bless your word to our hearts now? Lord, help us to be conformed in your image through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you have your outline sheet there, we'll go through it, and as we look at this, our title tonight is God's Wonderful Resource of Prayer. God's Wonderful Resource of Prayer. That first verse that we looked at is, any among you afflicted, let him pray. So you have your introduction there. The Holy Spirit, and we have a blank line for you to write down there. Write down 2 Peter 1:21. One of the most important verses in the Bible is 2 Peter 1:21. Just this week, I was going back and forth with somebody who was trying to convince me, ladies and gentlemen, that the Bible was imperfect, that it was translated by imperfect people, that it was penned by imperfect men. And I said, no, 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 no. Why? Because I know 2 Peter 1:21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. See, God superintended the process of the writing of the Bible. Why? Because He is free from error. And He promised to preserve His Word, and thus we have His promise that His Word will remain and we can have... You know, there's a whole segment of so-called Christianity that is looking for the Bible. Oh, they just don't know if they have it, and you got to have all the manuscripts and all this. Well, good luck with that, because there aren't any original manuscripts. There aren't. There are no original manuscripts. All there are copies of copies of copies. I'm glad I have God's preserved Word right here. Right here, amen. And so the Holy Spirit, 2 Peter 1:21, here, yet again, as He did in chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, in chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, deals with the subject of prayer. Blank line. Let's go back in James and look up those verses. James chapter 1, verse 5. We have a prayer, and the prayer is very specific in James 1:5. It's for something in particular. Anybody remember what it is? Wisdom, that's exactly right. It says there in verse 5 of James 1, if any of you lack wisdom, let him what? Ask of God. What is prayer? Asking. Asking God for things. Ask and ye shall receive. Amen. And then it goes on to say, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask or pray in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea and the wind tossed. Go over to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse number 2. Remember here we talked about the fightings and the contentions in the church, and it says there, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight in war, yet ye have not because what? You ask not. Do you know there's things in your life that God wants to give you, but you can't have them because you will not ask Him for them? I don't like that. Boy, I don't like it either. It'd be a lot better to just ask. Come on. Brother Hudson, Curtis Hudson, when he had prostate cancer and he was dying, this is what he said about those verses. He said, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. He said, I don't know if it's God's will to heal me, but if I don't ask, I don't even give God a chance. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of requests within God's will that He wants to give to us, but we have to ask. We have to pray. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit here deals again with prayer. Back over in James chapter 5. The words in James 5, 13 through 18, so six verses, the words pray or prayer are used, guess how many times? 100, somebody said. No, not 100. 6 times, amen. 6 verses, 6 times. Okay? Now, God's wonderful resource of prayer is seen here. It's a wonderful resource of God. There are at least 3 reasons why Christians do not allocate this most important of God's resources. At least 3, and we're going to discuss them in just a moment. But thankfully, our God, in His wisdom, has a remedy for each of these reasons. See, sometimes we don't pray, number 1, because of ignorance. We don't know the Bible promises about prayer. We just don't know. I remember early on in my Christianity, and many of you probably do too, I remember the first time the pastor called on me to pray. And that, Brother Howard, my knees were shit. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know what to pray. I heard other men pray, and I was impressed by their prayers, but I didn't know what to pray. The Bible does say in Matthew 22:29, you do err not knowing the Scriptures. You know, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of precious promises about prayer. Amen. Amen? That God. So sometimes we don't pray out of ignorance. We just don't know what the Bible says about prayer. Number 2, sometimes we don't pray because of arrogance. Psalm 10:4, speaking of the wicked, it says, the wicked will not seek after God. Do you know we could turn that to the prideful person? See, if you're full of pride, pride leads to self-sufficiency, and nobody needs to be dependent on God when they're self-sufficient. Amen? Now, here's a real question. Did you go all through the day today without praying? Maybe it's because you thought in your mind you didn't need God's help. Maybe. See, that's pride. Pride's a sneaky sin, amen? It really does. It masquerades as, praying is weakness. I mean, you got to get down on your knees to pray. No. Praying is just knowing that we are weak and need God's help. Amen. It's a God dependency there. So we don't pray because of ignorance. We don't pray because of arrogance. Boy, I like this one. We don't pray sometimes because of shame. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, when you read there in verse 11, it's talking about Job. It says, behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job. And we've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of a tender mercy. Sometimes we don't pray because we've been afflicted, and that word afflicted means hardness, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. Sometimes we've got ourselves in our own mess. Amen, church? Amen. We're ashamed to pray. Listen, praise God, the Lord is very pitiful. Amen. Of tender mercy. Listen, when you mess up, He's still merciful to you. Yep. He still loves you, and He still wants to hear your voice. Say, how do you know, Pastor?
because I've tested it out. Been times where I've been ashamed to come before God in prayer. But I know what His Word says, and I know He wants to hear from me. And I know He wants to forgive me, and I know He wants me to repent, and all those other things. Amen. And so God deals with each one of these reasons here. So let's begin, if we could, to examine God's wonderful resource of prayer. Four, and we're only really going to get to one Roman numeral number point tonight, and Lord willing, next week we'll continue on to the other two that are in this text. But God's wonderful resource of prayer for, number one, the overwhelmed. The overwhelmed. That word is such a funny word, overwhelmed. You never hear of somebody, Brother Ed, being whelmed. And you never hear of somebody being underwhelmed. But boy, we know a lot of people that are just overwhelmed. I mean, they're just overwhelmed. They've gotten to their limit. They're treading water, and their nose is about this far above the water, and then they go down sometimes and come back up. They're just overwhelmed. Can I tell you this? God has a wonderful resource for you called prayer.
Amen.
Prayer. The word translated here, look at verse number 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. The word translated afflicted is the Greek word kapatheo. Kapatheo. It's a long compound Greek word. And this is what it means. Meaning to undergo hardship. Afflicted. To be afflicted. To endure afflictions or to suffer, blank line there, trouble. That's what that word afflicted means there. To undergo hardship, to be afflicted, to endure afflictions, to suffer trouble. It is only used three other times. And I want us to go back to 2 Timothy, because that's where it's used three times. So go back just a few pages in your Bible to 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy. And some of us will recognize chapter 2, verse 3 right away. One of the usages here, in James it's translated afflicted. One of the usages there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, thou therefore endure what?
Hardness.
Same word. Same Greek word there. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Many of you know I'm a student of warfare and of history. I think of some of the battles that the American soldier has fought. I think about the different battles in World War II, which were just as divergent as could be. You had the Battle of the Bulge in 1945, where literally American soldiers were freezing because they didn't have winter clothing because they thought the war would be over by then. And then you had on the other side of the globe at Guadalcanal, you had folks with dysentery and malaria from mosquitoes and 115 degree heat. And it's just amazing. And you know what the American soldier has done? Endured hardness. Being a soldier, being in the military is not a soft life. Hardness. So it says there, endure hardness. Over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 9. See a different translation here. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry, that's 3:9. Forgive me, 3:9. Or maybe not. I got the wrong reference there, amen. Forgive me, I'll have to find it. Oh, no, that's correct. 9 is correct. I'm sorry, 2:9 is correct. Thank you, Brother Jeff. Amen. Wherein I suffer trouble is the word there. I suffer trouble, Paul is saying here. Suffer trouble, that same Greek word. And then chapter 4, verse 5, many of us know this. When Paul's coming to the end, he's getting ready to write that he's ready to be offered. He says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. So this word, afflicted, troubled, overwhelmed. Now here's a real tough question to answer. What is our first reaction when hardship kicks in our door. What is our... Now, I try to think, Brother Lawley, of what kind of hardship was James talking about here. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like it when things don't go my way. Anybody else with me? But I will tell you this, folks, I don't think he's talking about a flat tire. I don't think he is. I don't think he's talking about maybe the hot water heater going out. I don't think he is. I think he's talking about real persecution for being a believer. That seems to happen in every other country besides ours. But I appreciated what was prayed. There may come a time when we'll have to pay a price for the faith. What is your first reaction when trouble or afflictions or hardship kicks in your door? I've got four here that I think perhaps are common. And I confess to you, sometimes these are my reactions. First of all, number one, or first bullet point there, angry outbursts. Why does this always happen to me? Well, you know, that's... Or then on they go. Amen. Sometimes a reaction is going to pieces. Sometimes people just go to pieces when hardship comes. I talk about real hardship. You get the report. Brother Randall mentioned before service that Chris Easterling just lost his job. Listen, folks, that's a hard thing. It's hard for a man to lose his job. Some of you had the privilege of working your whole life in a good economy and didn't lose a job. But Brother Horst, there was a time you didn't have a job. It's tough. It's hard, amen? But some people go to pieces. Some people do. Some people have angry outbursts. Some people go to pieces. Some people murmuring against and blaming God. It's strange how we forget to thank God when we're on the mountaintops. But once hardness comes, we're so quick to point our finger and raise our fist against God. I think of Mrs. Job did that, didn't she? Why don't you just curse God and die? You know, he's not worth serving anyway if he let this happen to you. Some people have angry outbursts. Some people are going to pieces. Some people murmuring against and blaming God. Here's another one. Some people walking away from God and believing Him to be unfair. You know, if God were fair, this hard time wouldn't happen to me. If God were fair, well, God is not fair. God is merciful. You don't want God to be fair. You know why? If God were fair, we'd all end up in hell because we're sinners. No, God's not fair. However, God says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." Blank line there. Let him pray. I have the full quote here, and I want to read the full quote. I just have a little piece in your list there. Just what should a child of God do when in the depths of adversity and affliction? Let him pray, says God's Word. Do not complain. Do not grumble. Pray. Here's what's in your lesson sheet. Every affliction is a call to prayer. Every affliction is a call to prayer. There were times when I felt that God sent adversity to draw me closer to Him in prayer. Can I tell you this? That is 100% true. Adversity brings us to our knees. By the way, God would love to have us on our knees in prayer on the mountaintop. Come on. But you remember what He told Israel? He said, you know, you're going to come into the promised land. And you're going to have houses that you didn't build. And you're going to have vineyards that you didn't plant. And I'm going to give you all of this. And when your soul is made fat and you've enjoyed it all, beware that thou forget not the Lord. Because that is our nature, ladies and gentlemen. It's our nature when things go good to puff ourselves up with pride, like Nebuchadnezzar, say, "My hand hath built this." No, it hasn't either. No. Affliction, hardship, difficulty has a way of bringing us to God. Lehman Strauss went on to say, "We must admit that affliction has a way of making the heart humble, contrite, and more dependent upon God." That's true. Very true. Last lines there. Hardship, many times, is permitted by God to make us conscious of our need for Him. Right, a few scriptures there. Let's look them up. You got to go back into the Old Testament. Amen. Bible race here. 2 Chronicles 33. 2 Chronicles 33. In verses 11 and 12, one of the most ungodly kings in the Old Testament is Manasseh. Manasseh made his children pass through the fire. Molech, that false idol. And God over and over and over and over wanted to get a hold of his heart. And come to the end here, and it says in verse 11 of 2 Chronicles 33, "Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria." That's God's affliction right there. "Which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him away to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord, his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him." You mean to tell me that after the wicked life that Manasseh lived, when he turned to God, God listened to him? That's exactly right. And it's the same thing for you and I. If we'll turn from our sins, God will listen to our prayers. What a God we serve. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 19. Go back another little bit there. 2 Kings chapter number 19. Almost done here. 2 Kings chapter number 19. In verse 14. Remember when old Hezekiah got that note from the king of Assyria? Said, "We're going to come down here and we're going to stomp you and we're going to take everything." What did Hezekiah do? By the way, a good king. Godly king. What did he do? It said, "And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, Thou art the God, even Thou alone." Verse 16, "Lord, bow down Thine ear and hear. Open Thou Thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God." You know exactly what happened. God took care of the problem. God, one angel, 185,000 Assyrians, done, just like that. One more, Psalm 119. Right in the middle, Psalm. Largest chapter in the Bible. I have a dear friend in New England, memorized Psalm 119. 176 verses, amen. You say it can't be done. Well, somebody told her it couldn't be done, but it doesn't always work that way. Amen. She did it. Amen. Memorize the whole thing. Go to verse 67 of Psalm 119. How true this is, ladies and gentlemen. When you read your Bible, you see things like this. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. And now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Hardship, affliction, trouble, many times is permitted by God to make us conscious of our need for Him. But are you afflicted tonight? Are you overwhelmed? God gave you a resource. Prayer. Pray. Talk to God about it. And Father, we love you. Thank you for all that you give to us. We pray your blessing now as we dismiss our midweek Bible study. Thank you for each one that came out tonight and Lord was able to be here. I pray that you'd help us when we are overwhelmed, when we are afflicted, when we are enduring hardships. Lord, it's so in our nature to grumble and get angry and complain. Help us, Father, to pray. Help us to just turn to you and ask you for help and know that you will. Bless now as we dismiss. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. How about page 237, ladies?